It's a blessing, amen? That could have been our theme song for our stewarding life. If you want your Bibles tonight, turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, familiar passage. If you've been in church very long on missions, and tonight just extending the message from this morning on stewarding the gospel, and really just plainly talking to you about how Heritage Baptist Church goes about, practically speaking, fulfilling the Great Commission. And so just tonight, we'll be brief tonight. I don't believe I'll take the entire time. But I know we have a lot of new people, and some of you, as I've talked with the pit crew a while ago, our preachers in training, some of you don't know how the budget works in missions and many of these things. And so I just want to kind of have a family meeting tonight about missions. By the way, what we love usually shows up in our wallet. It really does. I mean, whatever we love shows up in our wallet. You know, grandkids, you know, how much do they want? But you understand that. And in church, it's the same way. We want to make sure that our budget reflects what God loves, what the Lord loves, and that we also, you know, steer the budget that way. And so tonight, we'll talk a little bit about that. Acts chapter 1. And let's back up a little bit, look at verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them, talking about Jesus, the disciples were commanded to assemble together, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, Jesus, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. I do want to just point out again, verse 5, does not say the Holy Ghost will baptize you. It says Jesus Christ will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the baptizer. The Holy Ghost is the element. And that is important for some of you scholars. Verse 6, and when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Again, I mean, he's about to send it to heaven, and they're still asking, are you about to set the kingdom up? Are you about to make yourself king, you know? In verse 7, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father had put in his own power. In other words, we don't know the time and the seasons, which God's kingdom is going to be set up. Verse 8, this is our main verse tonight, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you. And Lord, may we again see the importance, and may we love our missionaries as we should. And may we pray for them. May we pray for our church planters. And we think about Thaddeus over in Garland. And it's a hard area. And I pray, God, that you'd give him a building. He needs land. He needs a permanent place for his church to meet in. And Lord, may you provide that for him. And Lord, may we continue as a church to have a love for spreading the gospel around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. By the way, our first service at Heritage Baptist Church was on a Wednesday night, and I preached from this text, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Yes, I keep up with it. Acts 1, 8. Why did I preach from that for the very first service of Heritage Baptist Church? Because missions is the heart of the church. And if missions isn't the heart of the church, then there's no need to have the church. The purpose of the church is, again, to spread the gospel. Amen. It's to evangelize. It's to baptize. It's to stabilize those converts, the disciple converts. Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. Most of you know the Great Commission and heard it over and over again. It's a threefold commandment, by the way. The Great Commission given by the Lord is a threefold commandment. It is to go into all the world and teach and preach the gospel. It is to teach them, it's to baptize them, and disciple them. It's a threefold commandment. If you break one, if you don't follow through and disciple the converts, then you haven't fulfilled the Great Commission. If you don't baptize them, you haven't fulfilled the Great Commission. So once you win somebody to the Lord, it is your responsibility as a soul winner, it's our responsibility as a church to follow up, to see them get into baptistry, to see them discipled on Wednesday nights. I appreciate Brother Cox and the ministry there on Wednesday nights here at our church to disciple new converts. Threefold commandment. We see in verse 4 and 5 here in Acts chapter 1, the disciples were gathered together, and Jesus said to them to stay in Jerusalem until until they be endued with power. And that power is the promise of the baptism of the Holy Spirit that would come. This promise was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not the power. But the promise he's talking about is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again, the baptizer is Jesus. What he's baptizing with is the Holy Spirit. A lot of people get this out of kilter, and it is important. Most people say, well, you'll be baptized by the Holy Spirit. No, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not the Holy Spirit baptizing you. It's Jesus Christ baptizing the church there in Jerusalem with the Holy Spirit. It was for endorsement. Baptism of the Holy Spirit does not happen today. It's simply a sign to the church, a sign to the Jew, that the church is what God is going to use as his vehicle, as his mouthpiece to spread the gospel, and the Jews were going to be set aside. Amen. The Jews were supposed to spread the gospel. That's what they were supposed to have done. They were to be the shining light. They were to be the pinnacle of all pinnacles to show how God blesses a nation who serves the Lord, and they were to share that good news with those around them of the Messiah who was to come, but they did not. And so the Lord set them aside. Now, that one day, they're coming back on the track. They're still God's chosen people. We don't believe in we don't believe that the church is spiritual Israel or nothing like that. The Bible doesn't teach that. And so one day they will again be the center focus and the primary focus of God's love or God's as God's mouthpiece to spread the gospel. 144,000 evangelists will spread the gospel during the Great Tribulation. It's going to be a wonderful time. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit was for endorsement. It was God endorsing the church. And so they were assembled in that upper room. And God, again, I want to give you a text verse for this. So God used sign gifts as a way in which to confirm his work. We can use Mark. Turn over to Mark 16 with me. So baptism of the Holy Spirit was a sign. It was a miracle that was meant to confirm, to endorse the church that Jesus Christ started, and that the Jews were going to be set aside, and the church was again going to be the primary mouthpiece. And it says there in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, "And he said unto them," this is right before his ascension, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We quoted that this morning. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that is not baptized shall not be saved." Does that notice it? It said, notice what it says, "But he that believeth not shall be damned." It doesn't say he that does not get baptized shall be damned, right? It's the belief, it's trusting in Jesus Christ to get you to heaven. Verse 17, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." These sign gifts, these miracles, would follow the disciples of the apostles. "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them," verse 19, "he was received up into heaven." He ascended into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them." Notice this now, you haven't been following. Into verse 20. "So they went about preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following." How was the message of the apostles and the message of the disciples confirmed? How did the Jews know it was real, that it was legitimate? It was confirmed by way of signs, miracles that took place. They healed the sick. There was the gift of tongues where a person can get up. Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and Peter preaches, and every person hears in their own language. Amen. Even though he's speaking, Greek, everybody hears in their own language. It's amazing, isn't it? That's the gift of tongues, by the way. It's not some unknown tongue. Amen. The gift of tongues is a language. Everybody hearing in their own language. And so the sign gifts followed the disciples and the apostles to confirm the message. These sign gifts were transitional. Amen. They were transitional. They were occurred in the early church because the word of God was not complete. Then Paul says in Corinthians, when that which is perfect is come, talking about the word of God, then that which is in part will be done away with. Amen. Talking about tongues and the sign gifts will be done away with. Once the word of God was complete around 100 AD, there was no need for sign gifts. There was no need for God to speak directly to somebody because the word of God was complete. This is God's final, complete revelation. Revelation simply means revealing us, unveiling His unveiling to us is complete in the Word of God. So there was no need, again, for these transitional gifts. They were transitional gifts. Get that? It's like a bridge. You have the Old Testament economy and the New Testament economy. You have God setting up the church. Jesus started the church and needing to guide the church and how the church is going to rule and how the church is going to work. And so he's using these special sign gifts as a means to do that, as well as a means to confirm the message, to confirm the apostles to the Jew. The Jews needed a sign. By the way, they were constantly asking Jesus for a sign. Give us a sign. Give us a sign. Give us a sign. Why did they ask for that? Because the Old Testament says that the signs would follow the Messiah, that he would raise the dead, that he would heal the sick, that he would do these things. And so, just again, we went over to Mark to show you that, again, the confirmation of the message was done so by way of sign gifts. And here in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when he says, "And ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you," that, again, that promise that he, there in verse 4 and 5, the promise that the Father was to give, that promise was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. Jesus' promise and commission of his church, again, was done. See, number one, we have the promise of the power, of his power. All right? What power? A power to lift 100 pounds? No, that's not what he's talking about. "And you shall receive power," the power to effectively spread the gospel, to spread the gospel. By the way, the power to effectively spread the gospel is dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Hello? They needed the power of the Holy Spirit to do so. Amen. That power is the enabling of the Holy Spirit. What is that? How do we receive that? We receive that once we're saved. We receive, at the moment of salvation, we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And he's there to enlighten us. He's there to lead us into all truth. He's there to open our eyes that we may understand the wondrous works out of the law of God. He's the one who helps us to understand what we're reading in the Bible. He indwells us. It's for enlightenment. He fills us. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. The filling of the Holy Spirit is for empowerment, enablement. It is the filling of the Holy Spirit that enables us. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit that gives power. Power. When? So this power was to come when? It was to come after the Holy Ghost came upon them. Not because the Holy Ghost came upon them. Look at Acts 1:8 again. Some of you scholars who've been around a long time, it's important you to see the distinction here and where the commas are at and so forth and so on in the English language here. So it said, "You shall receive power because the Holy Ghost came upon you." No. It says after the Holy Ghost came upon you. It is important. You say, "Well, you're just parsing hairs." No, go over to Acts chapter 2 and look at me. Look at verse 1. Acts 2, verse 1. So this is 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right. We know that the holidays or the holy days, the feast days of the Jews were set up into three divisions. You have the day of Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Passover, all those in the first division. You had the Feast of Pentecost 50 days after that. And then you had the other feast, the Feast of Trumpets and all those things. So you had three times a year in which all the Jews were required to come to Jerusalem to worship, no matter where they were at.
Amen.
They were supposed to come to Jerusalem for these feast days to worship the Lord. So 50 days after Jesus Christ rose from the dead, which was the Feast of First Fruits, was the day of Pentecost. Now all the Jews are back in Jerusalem, supposed to be. They're back in Jerusalem. And Peter's going to preach to them, not only Jews, but also Gentiles. As it said, there were also strangers there. And so they're gathered together on the day of Pentecost. So look there with me again, verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place." See, cars are found in the New Testament. It says they were all in one accord. Do they even make, they don't make the Honda Accord anymore, do they? That was a good car. Some of y'all, that wasn't very funny. All right.
Amen.
About as funny as those dad jokes, right? All right, I won't do any because I can't do it. Verse 2, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire." It wasn't fire, but like as of fire. "And it sat upon each of them." So here they are in this room, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes in, the Holy Ghost comes in, he fills the room, he baptizes them, he surrounds them, he engulfs them. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's what he promised in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. He promised, he said, stay in Jerusalem until the promise comes, the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father was the baptism of the Holy Spirit and also the power. And you shall receive power after you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then you'll receive power, not because the Holy Spirit came upon you, but after. What happens after they're baptized? Verse 4. What happens after they get baptized? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Was it the baptism of the Holy Spirit that gave them the ability to speak in tongues? Or was it the filling of the Holy Spirit that gave them the ability to speak in tongues? It was the filling of the Holy Spirit, not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And man, in the charismatic movement, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is such a big deal. And the Bible nowhere. Three times we see three times where the baptism of the Holy Spirit took place. All three times were for endorsement, and not for power. And not for us to seek the baptism. No. He says, be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. We're not charged to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. We're not commanded to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Because it's the filling of the Holy Spirit that empowers us. It's the filling of the Holy Spirit that enables us. And I don't have time to read the rest of the chapter, but Peter stands up. Remember now, Peter, who denied Jesus Christ three times just 50 days earlier. 53 days earlier, he denied Christ three times. Even so much that he cussed, so he wouldn't be identified as a Christ follower. I mean, yeah. Then he stands up on the day of Pentecost, having been baptized, and then after that, filled with the Spirit, which enabled him, gave him power. The Bible says all of them were filled, and all of them had power. And he stood up and he preached, and 3,000 people got saved. What gave him that ability? It was the filling of the Holy Spirit. You want power? Seek the filling of the Spirit.
Amen.
Seek it. Ask for it.
Amen.
Pray for it. Lord, fill me with the Spirit. Lord, as I approach this home and I knock the door, I'm going to talk to this couple that visited our church last week. Lord, help me. Give me power to speak to them. He's promised to do so.
Yeah.
Matthew 28, the Great Commission, he says, and lo, I'm with you always. He'll be with you. He'll be with you at that door. He'll be with you when you talk to your aunt, when you talk to your uncle, when you talk to your cousin, when you talk to your neighbor. He'll be with you. Ask him. Ask him to help you. I don't remember who it was. Me and Isaac went out on Saturday and did some visiting, and I just spent some time with him, enjoyed it very much. We went and visited Richard Gross in the hospital. And so just talking to Isaac about, I still get nervous. Isaac, like, you get nervous? I still get nervous when I go to the door. I still get nervous talking to people about Jesus, whom I don't know. Hello? We ought to all get a little shaky, you know?
Amen.
I'm not a salesman. I'm not good at it. I always told my wife if I wasn't a preacher, I'd be a car salesman. I think I could do it because I love cars. But I don't know about the selling part. Here, just take it. I'm too soft. But we all get nervous, right? We need power. We need God to be there with us. We need the Lord. We need that Holy Spirit unction as we witness to somebody, as we talk to somebody. On that day of Pentecost, again, Peter stands up and preaches with power. Power, even though he had denied Christ 53 days earlier. We seek the filling of the Spirit. We have that promise available. Number two, witness. He says, and you shall be witnesses of who? Of me. Let's be careful that we are not called, to get people to line up with a set of rules or a list of rules. We're not. Our missionaries aren't called to spread American culture to Ecuador and, you know, wherever they're going. It's not. You say, well, they don't. You know, that missionary didn't dress just like we do here. So.
Right.
So. Does it meet the culture? Is it moral? Are they meeting the moral culture? You know, are they meeting the morality of the Bible? Be careful. In the Dominican Republic, it's 155 with 150% humidity. I know that none of that's factual, but man, we went down there. That's the hottest place I've ever been. I was in my dress shirt and my dress pants. I had on magic pants too. I had on, you know, Yeah, magic pants, you know. Dry fit pants. Dry fit dress pants. I call them magic pants. They're amazing. If you have never wore dry fit dress pants, they are amazing. Go buy you some. Haggar makes them, called Cool 18s. Been wearing them for 20 years. Used to be, I could buy them for 15 bucks. Now they're 40. Getting old. But Dominican Republic, it's hot. We expected them to wear the, you know, and they don't have air conditioning. Most of the places don't have air. The church didn't have air conditioning. I sweat through everything. Literally, my entire dress shirt was soaked. The missionary, come on, people. The missionary's not called to spread American culture. They're called to spread the good news, the gospel. And of course, meet biblical morality and all those things. But again, we're called to witness of him, not called to witness of America. We're not called to bring our politics to some other country, right? Amen? No, we would like to. Not our politics, but the Constitution. Anyway, but we want to bring Jesus to them. He said, be witnesses of me, telling the world of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Number three, how and where? Well, we're supposed to be reaching our local community and reaching the world. We're to go to Jerusalem. That's what it says there. Look at verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I know a lot of you have heard this, but let's just walk through this real quick. Jerusalem, he says, be a witness in Jerusalem. We ought to be a witness to our community, Haslett, the Metroplex, the surrounding area. We do so at Heritage Baptist Church in many different ways. We do through community events, being involved in the National Night Out, which is going to happen here this next month, and, you know, the 4th of July event, and all these events, getting involved in community events. We want to have a little booth there. And I appreciate the Lunds and others who have set at those booths and passed out tracts and passed out the little, you know, little water bottles with the tracts in them. And I think many of you, I mentioned the Lunds, but there's many of you who have done it. And that's part of reaching our community, getting involved in the community events. Our special days, we don't have special days just to have special days. Oh, here comes Open House Sunday. What are we doing that for? So we give you, and I have an excuse to tell somebody and invite somebody to come to church. We're having a special Sunday. Would you come to church with me? Hello? Otherwise, we don't need to have the special days, because I know our group, we're all going to show up. You know what I'm saying? But we have special days so you can tell your neighbor, tell a friend, hey, we're having a special day at church. I'm going to invite you to come. Harvest Sunday, Roundup Sunday. Man, Roundup Sunday ought to be humongous. I know this year we're going to go back to doing the children's rodeo and the children's thing. Listen, there ought to be 1,000 kids here, you know, want to ride the stick horse. It's fun. Yeah. We have the special days in order for us to have an avenue of which to invite people. Canvassing door to door, doing the door hangers. We're going to, again, go to 10,000 homes this time and pass out door hangers. You guys did a terrific job in the spring. We got nearly all of them passed out this last spring. We'll do it again this fall. So twice a year we canvass or we go door to door and leave the door hangers. You say, preacher, I don't like that. Nobody likes that anymore. Nobody likes stuff on their door. Well, I'm sorry. The Bible says they went door to door. Let me give you the references for that. Acts 2:46 and Acts 20:20. There's biblical references that the early church went door to door. They went house to house. The Bible says for us to go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. And so there is a biblical mandate to go to our neighbor's house, to go to our neighborhoods, and to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. On the door hangers, we just ordered them, is the gospel. It's on the door hanger itself. Not only is there information about the church event we're having, but the gospel is on the door hanger. You hang that door hanger on that door, you put it, slide it in the little, you know, little crevice somewhere, or you roll it up and put it in the door handle. However you got to do it, you've given that house the gospel. Plain and simple, right? Plain and simple. And that's what we're to do. So twice a year, we try to canvass our area. We have organized soul winning Tuesday morning and Tuesday night and Wednesday night. You hear us like a Saturday morning. We're a broken record, and we're on a broken record on purpose, reminding you every week we have organized soul winning. We have organized visitation to reach our community. The Sunday school is simply the best most organized program we have in our church to reach people with the gospel.
Amen.
He said, we have many other programs, preacher. I know that. And all the programs are important. But the Sunday school is the primary. And I want to keep that in focus.
Amen.
The Sunday school is the primary. As each teacher and each care group leader reaches out to the visitors, reaches out to the prospects, what an impact it can make. The more we have come out, the more we'll see saved.
Right.
We've seen this every time. Brother Clark and others who've been here a long time, every time our soul winning attendance goes up, our church attendance goes up, and more people get saved.
Right.
It happens every time. And I'm so thankful the last 3 or 4 weeks, man, I thought we'd already feeding people chicken because we have great groups coming out on Tuesday night and Tuesday mornings and so forth. So reaching our community in multiple ways. And then Judea. What is Judea? That's our state, the state of Texas. I'm thankful that we are part of planting churches in the state of Texas, planting the church in Rome and Crum, El Paso. We're fixing to plant one ourselves in Highland Village. Thaddeus tonight in Garland. And there's many more that we're a part of in planting churches here in the state of Texas. 8 million people in the Metroplex. Keller does not have a solid independent Baptist church. The Colony, and I could go on, Dallas. The whole city of Dallas does not have a solid independent Baptist church. That's sad. 2 million people. There used to be a bunch of them over there. So we ought to be about spreading the gospel and starting churches in our community. And then Samaria. That's the United States. That would be equivalent to the United States. I'm thankful we have church planters that we support in Michigan, Louisiana, Oklahoma, Ohio, Kansas, Colorado, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Each one of these church planters we support from $50 a month to $150 a month, depending on when we took them on and what's going on. We might support them up to 2, 3, 4, 5, even 6 years as they plant that church. We want to have a part in planting churches in America. By the way, some of these churches are doing fantastic. The church, Brother Wido there in Louisiana is doing a fantastic job and growing, and God gave him a building. It's amazing, the miracles. And then the uttermost part of the world, and I need to hurry. I'm thankful we support approximately 100 foreign missionaries supported around the world, and we're still looking for more, especially in countries we don't support yet and have missionaries in yet. And we support our missionaries from the base is $100 a month. So each one of our missionaries who initially comes on gets $100 a month, and then when they come back and see us again after 3 or 4 years, when they come on furlough, they get a $25 raise. We have the Coates family, some of our early missionaries that we took on back in the storefront 20 years ago, who are getting now $200, $225, $250 a month because they've come back to see us several times. And so we support them monthly. And then, 100 other churches support them monthly. And that's how they get on the field.
Amen.
I'm thankful. And God's our witness. God's been so good to us. We've never missed a month in 23 years supporting the missionaries that we were obligated to, that we committed to.
Amen.
Bible colleges, seminaries. Got to get them trained and send them out. And we have given Norris Seminary and Heartland and West Coast and Crown, and we've helped out many of these seminaries and colleges. We want to help them. We've sent students to many of these colleges, trained them to go. How are we to do this? Lastly, and notice what it says. It says and it says both. Look at this. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What does that mean? It means at the same time. I know you've heard this before, but again, to be reminded that not only are we to be a witness in our community, but we're to be a witness at the same time around the world. How can I be here and plant a church in Duncan, Oklahoma at the same time? I can't do it. So how am I going to achieve what Jesus is telling me to do here? I'm going to do it through my finances, through my prayers. I'm going to pray for Brother Dick up in Oklahoma, Duncan, Oklahoma, that is reviving a church there. And I'm going to pray for him. We're going to send him finances to help him so that he doesn't have to have a full-time job where he can attend and attend to his flock and grow the flock of God. We're going to support Brother Thaddeus over in Garland so that he can plant that church. So we're going to do it at the same time. At the same time, we're going to support Brother Leslie Pride in Honduras. And that's the way I fulfill Acts 1:8, is through my prayer and finances. Because I am told to reach my community, to reach my state, to reach my country, and to reach the uttermost, and do so at the same time. Every member of Heritage ought to support missions. You say, well, I give to the general account. If you give to the general account, some of that trickles into the mission account, always has. There was times in years past, we don't do this anymore, but years ago when we were just not getting to this building and things were going, we gave as much as $50,000 out of the general account 1 year to missions. And I hope there's a day, again, we can go back to doing that. I'd love to see us, and again, I've never said this publicly, I would love to see us at some point here in the next couple of years start with 1% of the general account and give that to missions. And then try 2 or 3 years later to do 2%. And then increase it as time goes on. And not only do faith promise missions, but also give out of the general account. And we give, of course, the Gaswell royalties go to, that's about $3,000 or $4,000 a year goes to missions as well. Both in Jerusalem. I'm responsible to send and represent myself around the world. All right? Simply putting it, putting money in the mission account and putting money in the mission offering does not negate my personal responsibility to witness to my neighbor.
Amen.
And I'm afraid sometimes we as Christians soothe our conscience by giving to missions, but we've never said anything to our coworker about Jesus Christ. We need to be careful. Be careful. Get involved in reaching people with the gospel. All of us have a tendency to be self-centered. And if we're not careful as a church, we'll become self-centered as well. And we need to be careful that we are always reaching out. Too many churches, in fact, I'll say the word most churches, are self-centered. All the programs are geared towards their members, their kids, their thing. And let us strive to continue to make sure that we continue to reach out. Reach out. I used to say in the Fall Festival, I want our kids to have a great time at the Fall Festival. We had the Fall Festival, I want our kids, I want my grandkids, I want to have a terrific time. But the primary reason why we had the Fall Festival is not for our kids and for our grandkids. It's to reach our community. That little bag they receive when they walk in that has the gospel in it, that's the primary. We want them to receive. Walk through Bethlehem, it's awesome. It's awesome, it's amazing. Awesome, I know it's an 80s word, but you guys, I say it a lot. I also text it a lot. Walk Through Bethlehem is a great program, great event for our kids. It's certainly educational, biblically. What is the primary reason why we have Walk Through Bethlehem? To reach people, give people the gospel. And in that instance, we get to preach to them for a few minutes. But they get the gospel. May we always be a steward of our resources to spread the gospel. Missions conference is in 2 weeks. Brother Willie Weaver will be here. We have 5 missionary families coming in. I'm excited about it. Can't wait. A good program set up, and I hope that you'll be praying about what God would have you do financially for missions this next year. And that God would use us as a church, continue to use us as a church to spread the gospel around the world. Let's all stand.